Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, as I mentioned on Sunday, I've been kind of looking back through a little bit of Proverbs just to see if there's a few more things that the Lord wants me to preach. I know I haven't preached Proverbs 31 yet. I'm waiting for Mother's Day. No. There's just a few things I want to study out yet on Proverbs 31. But as I was looking back through my wide margin Bible, I came across some notes. Some of these things, I don't even know where I came across some things, you know, that I wrote down in my Bible. But notice it says here in Proverbs 19, verse 1, this doesn't really apply to us Americans because we're all richer than most of the world. But in comparison, there's a lot of people who think they're poor here in America. So that's why the government gives them cell phones and all that kind of stuff. But notice it says here in Proverbs 19, verse 1, better is the poor that walketh is in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Notice here talking about a poor man walking in his integrity. Now, we live in a day of scandals. Politicians, seems like constantly they have a scandal. Not only that, but it seems like a lot of religious leaders end up in scandalous things. I want you to consider here, one of the reasons why we're having trouble with that is because of a lack of integrity. I want you to think about that. In fact, as I was doing some study for an ethics course years ago, as I was teaching that, I came across this statement that a business ethics course taught, and as this professor was teaching his business ethics course, he told his students this: do not do anything you think might end up in the news. That's the extent of their ethics. I want you to think about this. In fact, the word perverse there in verse 19 means twisted, distorted, crooked. And let me just say this. A lot of people try to have this public image, but they're different in their private life. And let me give you a distinction here between character and reputation. And part of the reason why we lack integrity today is because we lack character. Character is what we really are. Reputation is what others think we are. I want you to think about this. You know, I can put on a public show and have, quote unquote, a reputation that's what people think I am. In reality, in my private life, I may be something totally different. And that's why we have so many scandals today, even in the Independent Baptist movement today. I want you to think about this again. A poor man walking in his integrity. A couple other proverbs relation to integrity. Notice Proverbs 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 3. There's a couple other statements here in relation to integrity. Proverbs 11, verse 3. It says here, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness, there's again that word perverse, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Notice again that statement at the beginning of the verse. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. I want you to think about if we have integrity, in other words, what I am privately, I am also publicly, and vice versa. If I have a life of integrity, notice, integrity will guide me. As you think about the aspect of integrity, it says, integrity of the upright shall guide them. In many cases, integrity, if a person lives with integrity, that integrity will help them in making their decisions. The problem is we have such different ideas of ethics and all that. Do the loving thing. Well, sometimes you have to do the right thing, even if it doesn't seem loving in our modern world. Because, you know, in our modern world, you spank a child, you don't love them. In reality, the Bible says you hate them. You know, our world is totally opposite of what the Bible says. But again, integrity will guide us in making decisions. If I am consistent in my character, if I'm consistent in my life, in my integrity, it will guide me in making decisions. Also, Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7. Speaking here of the just man. It says in verse 6, to give us a context here of the verse I want to look at here, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, no, it's not natural for us to say, you know, want to say, here's everything that I've done wrong. Yeah. Everyone wants to proclaim their own goodness. that's just our natural tendency. You know, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Here's what I'm good at. To the point where a lot of people says, I don't really care to hear anymore about what you're good at. Most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. There's the one who's consistent. But a faithful man who can find. Notice it says in verse 7 then, as far as integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Notice another reason why it's important for us to live a life of integrity. Because it's going to affect my children. You think about going back to the scandal thing. If I ever get in a scandal because I have a lack of integrity, it's not going to just affect me. As the preacher, as the pastor of this church, if I'm ever caught in a scandal, it's going to affect my wife, it's going to affect my sons, it's going to affect this church, it's going to affect the testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's sad about preachers, independent Baptist preachers, who end up in scandalous situations. It has totally destroyed everything as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. And we'll look at, let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to consider here. A loss of integrity destroys our testimony. There's a statement here I want for us to focus on as Jesus talks about being the salt and light. Now, let me just say it this way. When a Christian ends up in scandal because of a lack of integrity, it causes the world to not want our message. What you notice there, it says in verse 13 and following. Very familiar verses, but again, I want to focus on one statement here. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. We'll come back to that verse here in a moment. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, you know, we aren't using candles tonight, but when we turn the light switch on, we don't go around and try to cover up all the lights so we can still have darkness. You know, you turn lights on so that you can have light. You light a candle in this case so that you can have light. So again, we're to make sure our light shines brightly. It says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the end result. That's the end goal. In fact, as I was listening to a preacher years ago, I wrote this down in my wide margin Bible. When they stop listening, they are still watching. The unsaved are watching us even though they say they don't want our message. Oh, you're a Christian? Going back to verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So if it, you know, gets all crusty and, you know, there's no flavor left in the salt, how are you going to salt it again? Notice what Jesus says here. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. This salt got all crusty and wet and it's worthless. So what do you do with it? In this case, you just throw it out in the street. And what happens? As people are walking up and down the street, they're trampling in that salt. Literally, that's what happens with our testimony when we lose our integrity and the unsaved think we have a worthless testimony. Trodden under foot of men. You're a Christian, I guess I don't want what you have. Now, let's look at an example, just briefly here tonight, of a man who the Bible says had integrity. The book of Job. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we studied quite a bit of Job's life. We didn't go verse by verse or anything. Because that can be a weighty matter, going through the book of Job as all of his friends tried to philosophize with him. Had part of the truth, but not enough of the truth, as God even said, you know, you did not speak what is right, as my servant Job did. A man of character, even though he was wealthy. I want you to consider, this man was a man of character, even when he had wealth. Now, here's what I want you to see in the life of Job, just in relation to integrity. When he had wealth, he was the richest man in the East. When he had wealth, he was a man of character. That's rare. A lot of times people with wealth, they don't have much character to them. But also, when he loses everything, he, as we're going to see, was a man of integrity. And it says in verses 1 and following, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means he tried to avoid evil. He abhorred evil. And says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Even as we see later on in this chapter, Satan, as he was going around to and fro throughout the earth, and he had to present himself before God, God brings up Job's name. Why? Because he took notice of his character. But as we even see in the book of Job here, he served God, he feared God, he avoided evil. Sounds like separation that we need. But he was consistent in all circumstances. Even as we see in verses 13 and following, Job loses everything in a day. What do you think about that? Have everything lost in a day. Now, there are some who lose their bank account in a day and they'll jump to their death, even as we consider, the stock market crash. I mean, did they still have their children? Did they still have their family? Job didn't jump to his death when he loses everything, including his children. Not just his wealth. But again, as we see this, he had the right response, even as we see at the end of chapter 1. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Now, what you think about if you lose everything, your house burns to the ground, your bank account goes broke, you lose your children, everything in a day. How would we respond? I'm not sure I would necessarily respond quite like Job does. It says he fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. How many times would we say, "God, why did you do this to me?" But again, he was a man of character regardless of the circumstance. So then, remember we saw back in Proverbs that the poor man's walking in his integrity. So now Job has a chance to prove that he has integrity as a poor man. You think about that. Verse 1, again, chapter 2, verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'From whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.'" Now, again, he's not omnipresent, but he likes to present himself as being omnipresent. It's amazing how it seems like Satan is everywhere as we see the wickedness around our world. "And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job?'" Again, he served God. "That there is none like him in the earth." And notice now God still is giving him the same description as when he was a wealthy man. "A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Of course, then Satan says, "Yeah, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Yeah, you touch his body and he's going to give up his integrity. Even as we notice throughout the book of Job, he was a man of integrity. Notice a couple other passages as we close here. Job 27. A couple statements here as far as his integrity is concerned. Job 27, verses 1 and following. Job 27, verse 1. "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul.'" Wait a minute, God, I thought that was Satan. No, you look at chapter 42. It says that God was the one who did this to Job. Now, he used Satan, but nothing happens to us without God saying, he's the one, he's sovereign. Notice, "who hath vexed my soul." Job recognized God doing this. In fact, remember what God said to Satan. "You moved me against him." Verse 3. "All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Notice, throughout life, to the very end of life, chapter 31. One more passage here in relation to his integrity. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We need that in our internet world. What portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked? And a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? There's a reason why we need integrity. Because God knows if we have it or not. Doth he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance. Notice this, that God may know mine integrity. Like I said, God knows whether or not we have integrity. Do we have integrity? Are we consistent? Oh, wow, we get all dressed up, we go to church, and boy, you know, we look good. We look like the good Christian on Sunday and Wednesday night or whenever we're... But are we the same at home? Are we the same in our private life? Do we have integrity? In fact, there was, from what I understand, in Bible cultures, they would often seal up a crack in pottery with wax. And the piece of pottery that would receive the seal, sincera, would be the one that you could hold up to the light and not see any cracks. What cracks do we have? You know, the cracks in our integrity are why we have so many scandalous things going on in our modern day. Does God know that we have integrity? Father, I pray that you'd help us with these things. I just thank you for these thoughts and reminders in my own heart and life. Lord, I think of so many preachers are out of ministry today because of a lack of integrity. Lord, how many preachers, how many men have broken a relationship with their families, their children, their grandchildren, their wives because of a lack of integrity? And Lord, our young people know, our children know, if we're consistent. Lord, we don't fool them. So Lord, help us to have this integrity. Lord, whether we're poor or rich, help us to walk in integrity. Pray that you help us. In Jesus' name, amen.